John chapter 5 says these words. One man was there who had been sick for 38 years. That's a long time. That's a real long time to be sick. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the sick man answered, "I don't have a man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But when I'm coming, someone comes down ahead of me." "Get up," Jesus told him. "Pick up your bedroll and walk." Instantly, the man got well, picked up his bedroll and started to walk. I love this story because it's somebody you would have written off who gets a major healing in their lives and is able to carry on with life. You need to understand the background to this story because Jesus was in this place which had covered colonnades. Architecturally, it was quite pretty, but it wasn't pretty in some other ways because it was adjacent to the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem. Any idea what the Sheep Gate was used for? Yes, it was for sending your sheep through when you wanted to sell them or whatever you were going to do with them. And the next to the Sheep Gate is this pool where they used to wash the sheep. And this pool is also the place where all the disabled people, damaged people, hurt people, and long-term sick people are left to die. And somebody has come up with a story that occasionally, when the water bubbles, if you can get in there quick enough, you're healed. Now, forgive me for putting it quite so bluntly, but there is one reason that the water bubbled. It's methane, and it's released from certain waste products deposited by sheep while you're washing them. So, this place was not only a place where people who couldn't move, who were paralyzed or crippled, had to spend their days. So you tell me what they did for toilet. It was surrounding a sheep pool, which occasionally let off methane. The whole place was a smelly place. It was not a pleasant place. And somebody had taught them this wicked rubbish that you need to wash in there. Oh, no! Wash in that pool? Goodness me, I wouldn't dare go near that pool. And when it all comes down to it, it's all he had to live for. So Jesus comes along. I wonder if you would recognize Jesus if you walked in this room right now. This man sees Jesus and Jesus says to him, "Do you want to get well?" Do you think that sounds a bit facetious? Do you think that sounds a bit rude, really? Do you want to get well? Of course he wanted to get well. I've met some people, though, who didn't want to. A friend of mine once prayed for a blind man in Wales. He'd been blinded by a coal fall in the pit. And he'd been invalided off mine working. And actually, he ended up better off financially. And he prayed for this guy. The guy was instantly healed. And then 6 weeks later, it came to the notice of the authorities who were paying him his invalidity benefit. And then all of a sudden, he put a pair of dark spectacles on and started walking with a stick. Because he didn't want to go down in the pit anymore. So, do you want to be healed? It's a question, isn't it? It's a difficulty. But it reveals a lot about Jesus. And I just want to tell you one thing about Jesus tonight. I want you to know this one thing about Jesus, which is so good, it's so wonderful, and that's this. He'll never force anything on you. You see, if I was Jesus, I think I would have floated in there, hovered in the midair, I would have waved my finger at him and made him well. But that's not how Jesus works. Jesus walks into your life one night and says, do you want to be well? And what does that mean? It means well from anything that ails you. And the Bible tells us that all of us ail something, in that we all do things that are contrary to what God wants. The Bible has a word for it. It's called sin. The fact is, every single one of us sins. We all do things that don't really please God. And you need to understand that church is not a place where you come along and you're made to feel terrible for doing things wrong, because we don't have a list of commandments that come up on there. It doesn't say, thou shalt not have a good time. In fact, we try everything to get you to have a good time. You know, we're not here to tell you off tonight, but the fact is, something is ailing us all. And it's a lack of God. You know, there is something in all of our lives that is God-shaped, that without meeting him and letting him fill that hole in our lives, we don't ever really get there. We miss it. We miss out on God. And so, Jesus says to this guy, do you want to get well? And you've heard the rest of the story. He gets well instantly. Up on his feet, off he goes, carrying his bed. And there's a lot more to this story if you read on. He gets into trouble for carrying his bed, and there you go. But that's just the sort of thing that happens, isn't it? But Jesus gives him the choice. You see, Jesus gave him a choice. Do you want to get well? He could have said, no, I'm quite happy here. I quite like the smell coming from that pool. It's better than the smell coming from me. He could have just said, oh, I'm quite used to it now. I've been here for 38 years. I'll probably only last another 6 months. You know, he could have had lots of reasons. He could have said, get away from me. I've heard you're from Nazareth. Only nutters come from Nazareth. He could have said loads of stuff. But he said to Jesus, you know, yeah, I want to get well. And with that man's permission, Jesus made him well. And that tells me something wonderful about Jesus. He never works without my permission. Yesterday in the York Press, there's a big feature on two guys who have been acquitted of rape. Our society is such now that newspapers often report things like this. And I don't know what the real story is. I don't know if they've got off because there wasn't enough evidence, or if they weren't guilty. I don't know. I can't speak about that. But I do know that rape is one of the most terrible things that happens in our world. In Africa, it's used as an instrument of war. In fact, it's been used as an instrument of war all over the world through history. Oppressors have raped their subjects. In our society, it's just used when usually a man wants something from a woman and won't accept no as an answer. And that's a terrible, terrible thing. A woman feels defiled. She has been defiled. And it's a terrible experience. Nobody should ever have to go through it. But it happens. But Jesus is not like that kind of guy. That guy who won't take no for an answer. Jesus will accept your no. Jesus will accept what you want. So if you say, I'm sorry, Jesus, I'm not interested. I don't do religion. I don't want to go there. Then Jesus will walk away. And as tonight, Jesus is talking to you and saying, what about me? This is quite an important night because you get to choose what you say to Jesus. You get to choose, well, maybe I ought to look into this. Maybe I ought to do a course. Maybe I ought to come along a few times. Maybe I ought to talk to someone. Maybe I ought to pray. You know, at the moment, the churches of York are promoting this little booklet. It says, try praying. And I don't know about most of you, but I'm finding people very responsive to this booklet. It's got 7 chapters in it, which coincides with how many days in a week. And each one takes you 10 minutes to read if you're a slow reader. And that means you can do this in 10 minutes a day for 7 days. And basically, it just takes you through a few things you can pray about. And it suggests, look, what harm can it do? It might do some good, so why not try it for 1 week? And there are some of these booklets on the desk out there, and you can take one if you'd like to, and we'd love you to do that. But just as try praying is an important thing we can try, talking to God, because that's what the booklet says praying is, it's talking to God. It's just having a chat with God. And you might say, well, I didn't know I could do that. Well, you can. And just as Jesus came up to that guy who'd been laid in his own rubbish for 38 years around that very smelly sheep pool with the bubbling coming up all the time that they were stupid enough to believe could bless them, the one man who can actually change things comes up to them, comes up to that guy. And what would have happened if he'd have said no? Nothing. He'd have stopped there until he died, until he croaked. It's not particularly brilliant. It wouldn't have been a story worth repeating, would it? It wouldn't have been something I would say to you. And now, John chapter 5, Jesus talks to a man who says, no, I don't want to get healed, and he dies. It's not very exciting, is it? But when this man said yes to Jesus, it opened the door to everything. And instead of being a disabled man who couldn't care for himself, he becomes a furniture remover in 30 seconds. What a difference. He takes his bed and goes for a walk with his bed. That's a fantastic thing. And what's the lesson of this? Well, the lesson is really simple. Say yes to Jesus. I was talking to a lady the other day in the street, and she said to me how life wasn't going very well for her at the moment. And I said to her, you know, you've got a hole in your heart that's God-shaped. Unless you fill that with the shape that it's filled by, unless you fill that with God, you'll just run on empty for the rest of your life. And I don't think that's supposed to scare anybody. I don't think it's supposed to shock anybody. It's just supposed to help you. Because actually, we need God. And, you know, I'm a guy, I'm 55, I'm married, I've been married for 32 years, I've got 3 beautiful daughters. There's lots of things I could say that's really positive in my life. But I can't say one thing in my life that's good that God didn't have his hand in. I really can't. And even some of the bad stuff, God's really helped me through. He's been there with me. You know, I just want you to know this one thing. I've said yes to God. And I really recommend that you say yes to God. Jesus, the Son of God, the part of God that became a human being and lived on this earth for 33 years before we took him and crucified him, that part of God loves you today just as much as he loved this guy who'd been laid there for 38 years. And he is calling to you and saying to you, come on, do you want to get better? And you know what? I don't think there's any of us that can't get better. And I know that day by day, Jesus helps me. And I'm not talking to you about some religious gunk. I'm talking to you about a relationship. When I say I talk to God, I don't mean I stand in a corner and chant in a Gregorian fashion, "Oh." I'm sorry, I don't do that sort of religion. In fact, if you've tried that sort of religion and it hasn't done anything for you, then don't worry, I wouldn't have gone there in the first place. But I do want you to know this. If you talk to God and you give him chance, he'll talk back to you. God's just waiting for you to say, "Go on." And he'll be in there so fast, making you better. And the first thing he'll do is he'll forgive you. A lot of us live our lives with a burden of guilt, wishing we hadn't said that thing. Wishing we hadn't done that thing. Wishing we hadn't. And Jesus just wants to forgive all that. And do you know what? I'm forgiven. You can be forgiven. We can all live forgiven. And that makes life better. I wonder, would you just pray with me? If you'd just like to bow your heads. I just want to say tonight, people, as our heads are bowed, we're talking about a real thing here. You can talk to God and he will come and live with you. It's nothing spooky. It's something incredibly comforting, something incredibly real. But he will never do anything unless you invite him. He will never, ever force himself on you. He will only approach you if you call to him. I wonder tonight if we ought to make a decision to call on him. I'm just going to pray a prayer, and quietly, without you having to draw any attention to yourself, if tonight you want to make this prayer yours, then after I've said each line, you just say this quietly under your breath, just inside your heart, just say this prayer. And believe me, a difference will come. You will get to know the Jesus I know. So, come on, here we go. Father God, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I ask you to draw near to me, to forgive me, to make me better. I don't understand all this, but I want to. Please be real to me from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer tonight, I want to encourage you to take this Try Praying booklet. If you haven't got a Bible, get a Bible. You'd be surprised how good it is to read. But whatever you do tonight, don't leave this place without certainty in your life that Jesus has met with you.